So we're beginning something new today, and I'm excited to open that up for us. We're going to ease into this new thing that we're doing in our sermon series, and we're going to have a long time because we're going to do this until the end of the year. So get ready for it. But a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, and Easter was a lot of fun. Easter is always a wonderful time here at the church. And we talked about and celebrated the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that he conquered death, and that hope in Jesus' resurrection can give us strength and give us what we need to be able to help us in our lives today. And right now, what we're doing now is we're going to keep going in the story, and we're going to start a new series on the book of Acts. And the Acts is a very long book. It's the second longest book in the New Testament, right after Luke. And so it's a long book. There's a lot to get into. And so we're going to spend the next many, many weeks all the way until the end of November in the book of Acts. The book of Acts basically describes what happens after Jesus died and rose, and then he ascended up into heaven. And the book of Acts is describing what happens after that. Acts is kind of the now what book, right? It's like what do we do now? Like, the resurrection happened, now what? Death is still among us. Crucifixions are still happening in our world. Jesus has left, but he rose from the dead. So now what? What do we do now? What does this mean for our lives? You know, as I was preparing for this new series on Acts, I read this by this guy, Matthew Skinner, and I love some of the things he says about Acts, but this really jumped out to me. He said, "I enjoy reading the book of Acts, but sometimes it scares me." And if you've ever read Acts, maybe you understand what he's talking about. I had the thought, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I do love reading Acts, but sometimes it really does scare me. He went on to say this: "So many aspects of Acts make me feel like I'm living an overly safe and sheltered life. The book is stirring because it tells a story in which anything seems possible now that a new day has dawned. Acts urges me to dream bigger and to expect more." And I like how he puts it. Acts urges me to dream bigger and to expect more. I'm the kind of person, dreaming bigger scares me, actually. Because I'm worried if I dream big, then my dreams will be shattered, right? Or if I expect too much, then I will be left disappointed. Does anybody else feel that way sometimes? If you've experienced anything hard in your life, you understand, right? Because we all go through hard things. But Acts is this book with all these dramatic things that happen. And God really in Acts like intrudes and invades into history through the Holy Spirit, bringing new life to these places of death all across the land. Acts is a collection of stories about a God who doesn't stay far off, but a God who intervenes and gets involved and makes a difference in our world. The book of Acts ought to stir our imaginations, helping us to imagine that another world is, in fact, possible. That it might be otherwise. It could be different than what we're experiencing now. Dreaming big like that is kind of scary. Believing that God is not far off and is actually making a difference in our world, that's hard to believe right now sometimes, right? As we hear wars and rumors of wars all across our world, it's hard to believe. But my hope is Acts can be a reminder of something that happened a long time ago. But as we're going to talk about today, Acts teaches us that it hasn't stopped, that God is still moving and working. You know, I remember a few years ago, we did a sermon series through the book of Exodus. When I thought of Acts, Exodus reminds me of Acts in some ways, because in Exodus, a lot of really wild things happen in the book of Exodus. Exodus describes these events that took place a really long time ago, before Israel even became a nation. However, the stories in Exodus, it's really interesting, they weren't written down until hundreds of years after the time when they actually took place. These stories were passed down through an oral tradition where they would tell these powerful stories of their faith and when God delivered them from Egypt and all that, but they didn't actually decide to write them down on scrolls until much later. They were finally recorded around the time of Israel's exile, which is one of the hardest moments in Israel's history. And so we wrestled with this question, why did they decide to write these stories down at that point in their history? Why didn't they write them down way before that? Why did they choose that we need to get these stories written down in our official books so that we do not forget them? Why at that moment in history? Well, if you think about it, it was a moment of communal crisis for them. They had lost their land. They were living in poverty and pain and violence. And they needed to remember the stories from long ago. Their stories about a God who showed up in a big way to bring them salvation and deliverance. And so they wrote down their stories about the plagues. Y'all remember the plagues that hit? They wrote down the stories about Moses going head to head with Pharaoh, about the burning bush, about the Red Sea literally parting before them. They wrote down the stories about the manna and the quail that would fall from heaven every day and provide for them, about the pillar of fire in the sky that would guide them. They wrote about the water coming from the rock. And I have to believe these stories would have sparked their imaginations, helping them dream beyond the challenges that they saw right in front of them. The exile was brutal for the Israelites, and these stories would have given them hope. The Babylonian Empire had destroyed them, burned their fields, toppled their temple, deported many of them from their land. Everything seemed lost and hopeless. And these stories would have told them that it might be otherwise, that another world is possible, that what they saw in front of them was not the only story. Maybe the stories from Exodus urged the Israelites to dream bigger and expect more. Acts operates in a very similar way. Acts described events that took place kind of in the middle of the first century. But the book of Acts was not written for a few decades later, towards the very end of the first century. So we can ask the same question, why did the writer of Acts decide to put these stories into writing at this moment in their history? Well, much like the exile for the Israelites, the early Christians were really struggling. They were living in an occupied land. The Roman Empire was the dominating force that governed their daily lives. Life for an early Jewish Christian was likely to be very hard. During those years around 80 to 100 AD, the Roman Empire was rapidly developing and expanding their empire through building projects. They were building these beautiful cities all across their empire with these ornate buildings. If you've ever traveled there, they're unearthing all the stuff and these archaeological digs. It's massive, the things that they were doing. And they would build them all across their conquered territories. The cities were funded and built on the backs of the everyday people, off the backs of the poor, through very heavy taxation and slave labor. So as these cities grew, the Romans, they needed more agriculture products from the farmlands, because as the people moved into the cities, they needed to supply the demand that the wealthier people needed. And so they began taking farmland from the small farmers throughout the land, turning these farmlands into larger operations to keep the building projects going, for their supplies, to keep the urban folks happy. Then the Roman roads are being built to easily transport the goods between places. A small percentage of the people benefited from this, but most would have experienced all the realities of poverty. During that time, there wasn't really a middle class. It was like you either had a lot or you had nothing. Most of the people were very, very poor. And the Jewish Christians would have been part of that group. They would probably have struggled more than most. They often experienced rejection from their Jewish community and from the larger Greco-Roman society because of their commitment to this peculiar way of life that Jesus taught them. The Gentile Christians would have also experienced rejection from their communities as they abandoned all the many gods that they were supposed to worship. And they also lived these lives that were very different from their friends and families. The early Christians were often misunderstood and ostracized and even persecuted and victims of violence. Justo Gonzalez says this better than I could. He says, the church, which had began with a vision of the power of God and with great hope that the advance of its mission would lead to the fulfillment of God's promises, now found itself in a serious conflict with both the Roman Empire and with the surrounding culture and civilization. Christians who had begun their mission as heralds of a new age were now in danger of severe discouragement as they clashed with the powers of the old age. You got to understand, these early Christians, they didn't, when they believed that Jesus rose from the dead and they were preaching about the gospel and new creation, they truly believed it was all going to be changed. They believed God was going to restore and redeem the world. And then they're sitting there discouraged because nothing seems to be going the way that they thought it would. In that situation, Gonzalez says, what was necessary was a guide to lead Christians in their behavior and in their life during those difficult times. In the midst of conflict with Rome, with Judaism, with civilization itself, what are we to do? What is our attitude? Why should we take courage? And so in the face of severe discouragement, the early Christians needed a guide to give them hope and encouragement and the courage that they needed. And so this man that most people believe was a man named Luke, who was likely a companion of Paul, responded to this moment of crisis by writing two books that he hoped would encourage these early Christians. Part one and part two about the teachings and the work of Jesus. And the two books are the Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles, which is what we're going to be talking about. Did y'all know that Luke and Acts were written by the same person? We've talked about this before, but they were written by the same person. They are part one and part two, really meant to be read together. We often miss this because our Bibles put John right in the middle of the two, which is not very helpful, right? Because you never think about that these go together. I would have argued put Luke at the end so that Luke and Acts could be right together. But it's very clear that these were written by the same person. Most everybody agrees that the same person wrote these two books. I imagine the early Christians who were struggling during the first century needed to hear these stories of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit as they faced these overwhelming challenges that they needed to be reminded once again that God had showed up in powerful ways, overturning powerful people and powerful systems, breathing new life into places of death and destruction. Maybe they needed to hear the stories once again of Jesus and his disciples facing rejection and hardship because they were facing rejection and hardship. Maybe they needed to hear about Stephen's death when he was stoned to death as a martyr because maybe they saw some of their friends be martyred as well, and it will remind them that they aren't alone. Maybe they needed to read about Peter and Paul getting thrown into jail multiple times because maybe they were in jail as well because of what they were doing for the gospel. Maybe they needed to hear about the riots and the threats and the struggles that we'll read about in Acts because around them they were seeing the same things happen. I imagine those stories would encourage them as they faced similar challenges. You know, Acts, I don't believe it's a history of the church. I don't believe it's a history book only meant to be studied and dissected. I believe it's a living book that is meant to impact the way we live right now in the here and now. It's meant to give us hope and courage as we seek to follow the Spirit today. Do any of you all need hope and courage? I know I do. I believe that is how we should approach all of our sacred scriptures that we have in the Bible. We can't just approach them and only ask questions of the scripture and seek to dissect them. We need to let the scriptures also question us, provoke us, challenge us, encourage us to think and live differently in our world today. You know, I've mentioned this in the past, but there's this African concept called Sankofa, which means basically we move forward by looking back. We move forward by looking back, and there's an image of a bird that's got its feet going forward, but its head is looking back. And I love this idea because we look back to these ancient stories from the beginnings of our faith so that we can move forward with more vision and clarity and courage. That's why we keep reading this ancient text over and over and over again, because we believe it can breathe new life into us today. You know, I think it's interesting. Acts is a sequel to Luke. And I think this mere fact that Acts is a sequel tells us that Luke didn't think the story ended with Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. You could think that the story ends there. Jesus gone up into heaven, all right, it's over. But Luke said, no, the story's not over yet. I'm going to write a whole other book that's just as long as my first one about what happens after Jesus went up into heaven. He wanted to say more. He believed that the story of Jesus continues on. I want to read the first two verses of Acts for you. He says, in the first book, Theophilus, Theophilus is this person that Luke was addressing this book to. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, I want to highlight two parts for you. First, Luke refers to his first book. This should alert you to say, okay, he wrote another book before this one. The first book he's talking about is Luke. And if you read Luke, you'll see that that's also addressed to the same guy, Theophilus. They go together. Luke also says that he wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. He said all Jesus began to do and teach. He makes it sound like Jesus only started his doing and teaching, and that his work wasn't done, that he had only begun. How is that possible? Jesus went up into heaven. How does he continue his work after that? I want to share something really interesting with you. It's interesting to me, but the Bibles in your pews are from a version called the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV. They have recently updated that translation. Y'all don't have the updated ones because that would be expensive to buy all new Bibles. We should eventually, though, because the updated edition is better, in my opinion. But they changed some things from the original NRSV. Now, the original NRSV, and you'll see on the screen here, it's the second one. It says, in the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven. Now, there's a difference between those two. Can you see the difference between them? The first one, the updated edition, they changed it to say all Jesus began to do and teach. But the next one kind of acts like all he did and taught, like he's done. He's done it. It's all his teachings, all his actions. We wrote about that in the first book. We're doing something different in the second book. But the translators decided they needed to update their translation because they studied the Greek and they were doing some theology. They realized this is what we need to do. They likely because their original translation missed something about the book of Acts. The first book, Luke, was all about what Jesus began to do and teach. And the second book, Acts, is all about Jesus continuing to do and teach through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. The original translation makes it sound like Jesus was done, that Jesus' work is finished, he's gone up into heaven, and now it's a new day. However, the book of Acts, in my view, teaches us that Jesus is still doing things. Jesus is still teaching people. Jesus is still working in our world. It's just different now because he's not here in bodily form. But Jesus promised he was going to send this advocate, this helper, who was going to continue his mission here in this world. And it's actually said it even better now, because it's going to be spread out through every single person who has the power of the Spirit working through them. The Spirit is there continuing this mission of the gospel. Matthew Skinner argues that a good catchphrase for Acts could be, Jesus is still doing things and still teaching. The title for Acts is Acts of the Apostles, is the official title. And an interesting thing, those titles weren't given until the second century. So when the book was originally written, they had no titles. It's later they decided we should give these books titles. And so Acts of the Apostles is what it's called. But I don't think that's the best title because Acts isn't really about the actions of the apostles. Acts is about the actions of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. These guys that do this podcast called The Bible Project, they argue that a better name should be Acts of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And I think this is significant because the early church, the mission of the church, we're still just doing what Jesus did. If you read Luke and Acts, what you'll notice is pay attention to what Jesus does in Luke, and then what the disciples and apostles and all these folks do in Acts. They're doing all the exact things Jesus did in Luke. Jesus was healing people, so they were healing people. Jesus was, reaching out to people in the margins, so the apostles were reaching out to people in the margins. They're just carrying on what Jesus taught them to do. Being a Christian is not that complicated. We just continue the ministry of Jesus through the power of the Spirit working through us. I've said this before, but if a church is doing lots of work and it doesn't look like Jesus, it's probably not the work we're supposed to be doing, because that is what our faith is all about. So let me summarize my introduction to Acts, and we'll continue to introduce Acts as we go through this series. Luke and Acts were both written during a time of loss and struggle and challenge for the first Christians. They needed encouragement that their commitment to Jesus was not in vain, that they were still honoring God, and that they could press forward in the face of obstacles. So Luke wrote down these powerful stories of the Holy Spirit moving in powerful ways to remind them that God is not far off, that God is still moving, that the ministry of Jesus has not stopped, and that the ministry of Jesus lives on through the Holy Spirit working through ordinary people just like them. And my hope is that we also can hear that encouragement and that challenge, that the ministry of Jesus has not stopped, that we as Christians are called to carry on the ministry of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Like the writer of Acts, maybe we need to see another story in the midst of the powerful empires of the day. Maybe we can see another story today. Maybe we can see the ways God is moving among us, breathing new life into places of death. And so I'm excited to go on this journey in Acts with you all, and I'm sure it will scare us, it will stir us, it will cause questions, it will raise doubts, and it will also empower us and encourage us to continue on and to be a light in this year, 2024, which is probably going to be harder than 2023. I say that every year. My wife jokes. She's like, John, it's not very encouraging when you get up and say, this year is going to be harder than last year. But that seems to be the way things are going in our world. So hopefully Acts will give us and empower us with what we need to continue on carrying the work of Jesus right here in our community, in your all's lives. In this year that we're going to live together here at Embrace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.